Maybe you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, please, because that's where we're going to be this morning, Matthew chapter 13. So for those of you who are visiting or maybe haven't been for a few weeks or whatever, we're currently going through the book of Matthew as a church, and we've made it to Matthew chapter 13. which is a chapter of parables, really. So once you've got to Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to pray. Because as we heard last week, the reasons that Jesus told parables weren't actually to make things clearer for people. You know, they were actually to confuse. And so on top of that, we've got coupled with that, that naturally we can't understand anything in the Word of God anyway. So we have to pray to understand anything this morning. So let's pray. Father, we just confess that we have nothing to offer you this morning, and just echo what Nate is saying. And I think part of the reason that most of us didn't really find that awkward is because we have nothing to offer you. We come empty-handed. But I thank you that you're more than able and willing to give us everything we need this morning. And to that end, Lord, I just pray and ask that you would graciously reveal yourself through your scriptures this morning, that you would teach us, that you would open the eyes of our understanding to see what you want us to see, to hear what you want us to hear, and to apply what you want us to apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so who can remember what we talked about last week, who were here? So it was the parable of the sower. I always get a little bit pedantic because there's a couple of parables about sowers. So yeah, it's the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the four soils, basically. The four different kind of soils that the seed lands on. Can you remember what the seed was? Yeah, God's word, the word of God was the seed. And as it goes out, as it's sown, it lands on different kinds of soil. And depending on what kind of soil it lands on, a different effect happens. Okay, so this week I've got quite a chunky section of scripture. That's just the way it is. But I'm not going to have time to cover it all, no way. So even though we'll read it all together for completeness, I'll then focus on one of the parables. But let's read it all together first. It's in Matthew chapter 13. We'll start reading from verse 24, and I'm going to read all the way to verse 58. Let's read. He put another parable before them, this is Jesus, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus said to crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. And this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him. Yes. And he said to them, Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there and coming to his hometown, he taught them in the synagogue so that they were astonished and said, Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. So this morning, I want to focus on the parable of the weeds, or the parable of the wheat and tares. And sometimes in life, it's just good to take a step back and to look at the big picture and just to remember the big picture. What on earth is going on? I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get so caught up in the nitty-gritty of life that I forget what the bigger picture is. And it's good to just take a step back and be reminded of the bigger picture and remember why certain things are happening the way they are, and also remembering that certain things are going to happen. And that's what this parable is about. It's about the bigger picture, the big picture of the kingdom of God. It's a picture about what the kingdom is like. And what's really helpful for me as a preacher, especially, is that Jesus explains all the things about the parable himself. And that's why this morning is probably not going to be very long, because Jesus has already explained what's going on with the parable. But I have to be honest with you, this week I've thought about a lot about the application of the parable. You know, it's all well and good giving you a load of information, but what do you do with it on a Monday morning? And I really struggled with it this week. You know, what's the application of this? But then I realized a couple of things. First of all, I realized that Jesus himself isn't recorded as giving any application in this place. He just explains what the different things are, and he leaves it at that. And you know what? If Jesus can do that, then why can't I do that? And secondly, off the back of that, I realized that sometimes just looking at the parable, just looking at the bigger picture, is itself enough. Simply understanding and letting it sink, letting it land, and looking at the bigger picture will get you starting to think about certain aspects of it yourself. And each one of you will start thinking about certain parts of it that will affect your lives. So let's look together at the parable and make some brief observations and comments. So first of all, the first thing I noticed was that we wouldn't even know what was going on with this parable if the disciples hadn't have humbled themselves and asked for an explanation, right? Jesus tells so many parables without explaining them. But in verse 36, we see that after Jesus has told this parable, once the crowds had left, the disciples came to him and they just simply said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And if they didn't do that, we wouldn't have had an explanation from Jesus about what the parable's about. And that's the first simple point. If you don't understand something, then the best thing you can do is ask Jesus to explain it to you. Let's just keep it simple, right? If you don't understand something, ask Jesus to explain it to you. That in itself is an act of humility, and that in itself is honouring to God. And it's kind of like what Nate was saying this morning, isn't it? I don't understand everything. I'm weak and frail. I'm just coming to you. Can you just explain it? That's honouring to Christ. I don't get it, Lord. Would you teach me? So with that kind of like overarching theme, let's have a look at who or what the different things in the parable are. I'm going to ask you to help me for a little bit of interaction. Who's the man who sowed the seed? The Son of Man. As most of you are aware, the Son of Man is a synonym or another word for Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. So the man who sowed the seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. What's the field? The world. The field is the world, not the church. Oh, man. The amount of, like, because believe it or not, I do prepare. So the amount of, like, people I've heard say that the field is the church is unreal. Like, all right, if it wasn't explained, okay, maybe you could go down that road. But Jesus says the field's the world. The field is the world, not the church. Many people say the field's the church and you have unbelievers mixed with believers. And I know that's true in one sense. But the church itself, the real church, is only made of believers. That's what the church is, believers. Like, oh, without going too deep into theological language, you've got the visible church and the invisible church. The visible church is everyone you see in churches going to church with your own eyes. That's not the real church. The invisible church is the real church that only God knows who it is. So it's ridiculous to say that the field is the church because there's wheat and tares in it in the parable. The church is only wheat. Right, rant about that over. But, like, it should be enough. If Jesus said the field is the world, then the field's the world. What's the good seed? Now, this is where I find it really interesting, right? Because if this parable wasn't explained to you by Jesus, what would you think that the seed was? You'd just go back to the parable of the sower, wouldn't you? And you'd think that the seed was the word of God. But it's not. The seed in this one is different. The seed in this one is the children of the kingdom. That's the seed in this one, the children of the kingdom. So we get this beautiful picture that Jesus sows his children into the field of the world. I love that picture, like Jesus sows his children into the field of the world. I find that comforting. I find that comforting that I've been planted by the hand of Jesus. That I've been planted by the hand of Jesus as his child. I love that it doesn't say that the good seed are those who do good things in the passage. I love that. I love that it doesn't say that the good seed are those who do good things. I love that it says that they're the children of the kingdom, planted by Jesus. And why do I love that? Because they're being defined by their identity and not what they do. And they're being defined by who has placed them, not what they're doing. Do you know that? Do you know that a Christian isn't defined by what they do? They're defined by who they are. Like, I'm so glad we've been singing that song, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. When someone comes up to me and asks me, who are you? I can give them so many different things. I'm James. I'm father of Benjamin, Jacob, and Isabella. I'm husband of Naomi. I'm a pattern examiner. I'm a former blah, blah, blah. But none of that matters other than I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. That's my identity. Not what I do, not what I've done. Amen. Not what I will do. Who I am. Who he's made me. That's my identity as a child of God. And I love that the parable says that, you know, this seed is defined by who they are and who's placed them. They've been placed by Jesus as his children. And in contrast, what are the weeds or tares in the parable? Well, they're the sons of the evil one. And the one who sows them is the devil. This is the big picture. This is the big picture of what's going on. God sows his children and the enemy sows his. See, the devil knows that he can't change the identity of a child of God. He cannot. So what he does, like once a child of God, always a child of God. Once someone humbly believes that Jesus is Lord, trusts in him as their Lord and Saviour, believes that he died on the cross for all their sins and believes that he was raised from the dead, when that happens, when someone truly believes that, they are reborn. They are reborn as a child of God. And no one can undo that. I use this illustration all the time, but my children can never unbecome my children, ever. No matter what they do, no matter how they behave, they will always be my children. And so the enemy knows that he can't undo that, but what he'll do instead is he'll just scatter his bad seed to try and cramp out and stop the good seed growing and maturing. And this is another thing that we need to note from this parable. The children of God, the good seed, and the children of the devil, the bad seed, are meant to grow up together. They are close to each other. Now what this does is it puts away these silly ideas of pulling yourself out of the world and starting your own like holy Christian community. Right, that's not going to work. Right, if you look at history, right, loads of people have tried to do that. They try and segregate themselves from the world and make this like sinless community. And what happens? They have kids, for one. Yeah. But like the enemy sows everywhere. And what happens is they find out, we do things wrong from time to time. Duh, I could have told you that before you like set up your community. But people rise up from within that because the enemy sows people into that. It doesn't work because that's not the way it's meant to be. We're meant to be in close proximity to them. We're meant to be growing up in the world, mixed in closely with those who are not children of God. Now, when the servants find out that these weeds or these tares have been planted in the field, what do they say? In verse 28, they say this: "Do you want us to go out and gather them?" In other words, do you want us to harvest now? Do you want us to separate out now? And at this stage, it's really important to see what the harvest is in the story. What's the harvest? You'll find it in verse 39. The harvest is the end of the age. This is just nice for me, right? I don't have to figure anything out. It's just like, Jesus is so like almost blunt in it, isn't it? Like they go to him, can you explain it? This is this, this is this, this is this, this is this. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The harvest is the end of the age. The end of time as we know it, if you want. The harvest is the end of the age. What happens at the end of the age? The judgment, when all will stand before the throne of God. This is the harvest, the judgment at the end of the age. So what are the servants saying, in, essentially, in the parable, when they're saying, do you want us to go out and harvest? They're saying, do you want us to be judges? Do you want us to go out and judge? Do you want us to sort all this out now? Do you want us to sort this out? And therein lies the issue. Do you want us to sort this out? And isn't that quite often one of your first instincts when you hear a parable like this? You hear a parable that we live in a world where some are wheat and some are weeds. Isn't our first instinct so often, where are the weeds at? Who's the weeds? Oh, maybe you're more holy than me then. But don't give me that. Who are the weeds? Or am I wheat? Am I really wheat? Or am I a weed? And instead of like looking about and thinking, wanting to sort it out yourself, you being the judge, if you do that, you'll miss the whole point. Because who are the people who are the harvesters in the parable? Not people. Who are the entities who are harvesters in the parable? The angels are the harvesters, right? Listen, not you. Like, you don't get to judge. I don't get to judge. We don't sort it out, who the weeds and the weeds are. The angels do. The angels are going to sort that out. Like, they're going to harvest it. I just get like, you know, when the servants say, do you want us to go and sort it out? I just get like that picture of, is it James and John? Do you want us to call down fire from heaven, Lord, and burn them all up? You know, that's how you feel sometimes in the world, isn't it? Lord, do you want me to go out on my holy mission? You're not the harvesters. I'm not. The angels are. They will do the harvesting at the bidding of the master. And the weeds will be cast into the fiery furnace, and the wheat will be gathered into the master's barn safely. We're not the judges. We're not the harvesters. And when looking into this, I found out that one person who was a farmer said that if you try and separate these before the harvest is complete, if you take out like one tear, one weed, you can spoil and ruin up to 10 good pieces of wheat. Don't try and be the harvesters. Don't. You'll just end up doing damage. If anything, our eyes need to fall on ourselves first and think, am I wheat? The scriptures say in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, and these aren't, I haven't heard these verses preached on much, but they're there. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Examining ourselves isn't primarily about looking what you do, about what's going on the outside, but as that scripture says, it's is Christ in you? That's the test. Is Christ in you? It's what's going on under the bonnet. And that's why we can't judge anybody else, because you can't see into anyone else's heart. You only see the outside. But you can't see if Jesus is in them. You can look at their, like what they do, but so often what people do isn't a true reality of what's going on the inside. Like, you could be coming to church and you could put on this facade and do loads of stuff that makes you look like a real Christian, but under the bonnet, there's nothing going on. And conversely, someone could be a real Christian and Jesus is in them, but they're just really down that day and they just can't be bothered that day. They've had a hard day. And we're like, oh, cheer up. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you're like, oh, yeah, I know. And we're judging on all that's going on outside. Like, when Christ is in there, it's just you can't see with your natural eyes. Like, all this is, I'm basically trying to say, we're not the judge. We're not the harvesters. Instead of looking at the speck in someone else's eye, let's take the 2x4 out of our own grid, out of our own eye first. And examining yourself isn't primarily looking at what's going on the outside. It's Christ in you. Now, what I found really interesting when I was researching this is the people at this time, as they were listening to this, the word weed or tear, a lot of people actually think the translation should be darnel. And darnel is like this thing, right, that looks exactly the same as wheat. But it's not wheat. It looks exactly the same as wheat, but it's not wheat. And the only way that you can tell it's not wheat is when it's fully matured and the head comes out. And what happens when the head comes out on real wheat, it's weighty and there's like substance to it, and it actually causes the real wheat to bend down, bow down. But this darnel, this fake wheat, like Americans call it cheat. See what they did there? The head comes out on that, and it's just, there's no substance to it. There's no weightiness. And what this darnel does is it stands upright, proud. And the real wheat is bowed down because the head's got substance on it. It's a weed that looks almost exactly the same as wheat until it's fully matured. And like, you might think, who would do that anyway? Who would go out of their way to scatter this rubbish seed into a field? Well, believe it or not, in the Roman times, it happened all the time. Like with competitors who were selling wheat. They would like go into their enemy's fields and sow all this bad stuff to encroach on their good crop. And it happened so often that the Romans actually had a law against it. A law against that particular thing. I was thinking, what can you compare that to nowadays? And I was like, the only thing I could come up with, and I know it's rubbish, is when a McDonald's springs up, a Kentucky Fried Chicken springs up, buy it. I know, I told you it was rubbish. I gave you a warning. But like, you know what I mean? It's like this idea of competition, or maybe like a supermarket would have been better. Wherever there's a Tesco, there's an Asda, or whatever. But like, it happened, and there was a law against it. And this is the thing, right? You look on the outside and people can look the same. They go to the same jobs. They live under the same sun. They breathe the same air. They even do similar stuff. Like, just as one example, secular people run food banks. Christian people run food banks. Secular people run homeless camps. Christian people run homeless banks. And sometimes the secular people do a better job, right? You're looking at the outside stuff. People look the same, but it's only when they're both fully mature that you can tell them apart. The true children of God bow down under the righteous kingship of Jesus, and they bow to him as Lord. The children of the enemy are proud and upright in heart, and they refuse to submit to King Jesus. So that's the big picture about what's going on in the world. But where is it all leading? Well, as we've already seen, it's leading to the harvest. It's leading to the harvest. This is going to happen. Like, whenever I read passages in Scripture that talk about like the judgment, what's going to happen, I just suddenly realize how far I've been diverted off the big picture again. And I'm a preacher, like I'm meant to be someone who looks into the Word every week, right? And I do. And yet, I've still been drawn away from what the big picture is. That this is all leading towards that day of judgment, which is going to happen. It's leading to the harvest, where God is going to send his angels. Like, one day a trumpet's going to sound, like, and everyone will hear it. And God will send out the angels and they will gather in and separate God's children from not God's children. This will happen. And they'll separate them. And one will go into God's eternal care and one will get burned up. Like, this is going to happen. And it just makes me realize, what are you doing, Jim? What are you doing, Jim? What's everything leading up to? Like, what's all this about? Like, do I want to go out and try and figure out who's wheat and weeds, or do I want to go out and tell them about Jesus? Is this about evangelism? No, but yeah. Like, it's about the big picture. And the big picture is about Jesus being glorified and about people hearing about him and about people submitting to him. And that's going to happen one day. And you know what I said? I don't know how to apply this, but this is enough for me. Looking at this big picture is enough for me right now, right? This is coming and it's going to happen. And it puts everything that's going on right now today into perspective. All my little troubles. All my little things I'm fretting about. Oh, what's this person going to think of me in work if I don't get this done or I don't do that? Or it just puts it all in perspective. One day we're all going to be stood there in front of the King of Kings. In front of his throne. And I'm always stunned how I've lost sight of the bigger picture. We're all going to be there. We're all going to be there. And I find it. Just there's two things going on with me all the time I think about this. I find it incredibly encouraging that one day he's going to gather all those who have trusted in him and he's going to keep them safe forever. He's going to keep you safe forever. And he's going to care for you and he's going to love you and you're going to shine like the righteous for all eternity. And I find that so encouraging because that's going to happen. That's going to happen. And then what's going on at the same time is I just find it terrifying that people who haven't trusted him are going to be cast into this furnace. And they're both going to happen. And that's the way it is. I actually didn't tell the whole truth when I said earlier that Jesus didn't give any application. He actually does give a single sentence of application to all this. And so I can do no better than that. And so I'm just going to leave us with the single sentence of application that Jesus gives us for this. You'll find it in verse 43. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Once again, thank you for everyone here this morning. And thank you for lifting our eyes to the bigger picture again. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just do with your word whatever you wish in the lives of all these people here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.